you just got to find people that are get what you're trying to achieve. And for us, it's quite a simple concept. Buy land, place a covenant on it, protect it forever. I mean, it's really simple. And I think if you're trying to do that, then it's an easy sell, you know. Do you like protecting land forever for future generations? Yes, I do. Great.
Hello, and kia ora.
And welcome to the People Helping Nature podcast.
We're your hosts. I'm Callum.
And I'm Anna. And today we are joined by Matthew McDonald from Le Bonnes Bay Conservation Trust. Kia ora, Matthew. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So today we're going to be talking about crowdfunding land restoration for conservation, especially with the project you're currently working on. So would you like to start by introducing yourself and Le Bonnes Bay Conservation Trust?
Cool. So my name is Matthew McDonald, and I'm the the chairperson of the Le Bonnes Bay Conservation Trust. And the Le Bonnes Bay Conservation Trust was formed start of this year, was probably the day that we formally, you know, signed the trust deed. I've always wanted to leave the world a better place, and I've left three kids, so that's good. And all along, I've always said to my wife, well, we've always talked about buying a little bit of land, like 10 acres or 10 hectares or something, on the peninsula, because we've got a connection to Le Bonnes Bay, which is on the Banks Peninsula, and putting a covenant on it, locking it up and walking away and going, well, at least we've done our bit. And so May 2023, I think, 40 hectares in Le Bonnes Bay came up for sale. Now, Le Bonnes Bay is, there's four bays on the peninsula, or four or five big ones, and Akaroa, which everybody knows about, and then there's four little smaller ones, and then there's lots and lots and lots of little tiny ones where nobody lives. And Le Bonnes Bay is the best one. And not that I'm biased or anything. And some land came out for sale, 40 hectares. And I thought, oh man, 40 hectares, that's pretty cool. That'd be wicked. So I phoned up the agent and I said, it's for sale. And he goes, yeah, it's for sale. And I said, how much do they want for it? And he mentioned a figure, and I was like, yeah, that is just not in my budget, I'm afraid. And I said, my intention would be to buy it and to place a covenant on it and then lock it up and just walk away and go, well, I've done my bit. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's great. So it was going for auction, and it got passed in an auction, and it was still on for sale. And I was just sitting there going, oh, yeah, that's cool. So I phoned up the agent again. I said, I'm still Matthew here. I mean, I'm still looking, you know, what happened? And he goes, no, I haven't sold it, blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, somebody else mentioned something what you were doing. And I was like, oh, yeah, who's that? Because Le Bonnes Bay has maybe 100, there's 50 batches and about 50, there's about, I think, four residents, and the other 46 batches are all just, you know, people come and go like us. And then there's, I think, 50 people who live in the bay. I'm not actually sure on that, but roughly. And he goes, oh, Gary did. And I said, Gary who? Because, you know, Le Bonnes Bay is small. He goes, Gary Brindon. I was like, and he goes, do you know him? And I said, yeah, I know Uncle Gary. He's my wife's uncle. And I was like, oh, fantastic. So get off the phone, and I called Gary. I said, Gary, like the covenant for the, and he goes, let's do it. And that was the first step. And that was August last year. And so from that, Gary and I thought, well, you know, there's got to be other people like-minded. It was Labor Weekend, I think, which was almost a year ago. We organised a meeting in Le Bonnes Bay and said, is anybody interested in getting together and, you know, buying the land together and putting a covenant on it? And the 40 people turned up to the little Le Bonnes Bay hall. And it was a mixture of locals and people from a bit further afield, from Akaroa and the wider peninsula, and people within the bay. We collected all the names. And then from there, we said, right, let's, you know, this is going to happen. Formed the trust, and then I've been blown away by some of the level of complexity that there is into establishing a trust. And that's a good thing, because, you know, you don't want people just sitting, oh, I'm a charity and blah, 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 and give me money, and then, because there's all these tech a lot of tax implications to that, which, you know, fair enough, and I get that. It has taken a long time. So during that course, we established that we would buy it, and the owners were really excited to hear that we were, and I'm going to give them a bit of a shout out to the Gordons, because they have been absolutely sensational. Like, we wouldn't be where we are now if it hadn't been for them, and they've kind of, you know, really got on board with us and let us roll with it and given us time and really, you know, come to the party big time. And one of their daughters is on the trust with us, so that's good. So there's 10 trustees. So we established a sale and a buy price, and that's $450,000. And as of this afternoon, we were at $336,000 of our goal of establishing purchasing. So we've got till March 31st next year.
I think it's worth just taking our hats off to, well, to one, to the owners for being so flexible. Correct. I recall, yes. I think it might have been in the letter asking for funding, you said how they actually had been given a higher offer, but decided to accept a lower offer from the community and a year to even close the deal, which is amazing. But then also, to your credit, when I first looked at this project, which was only maybe a few weeks ago, I think maybe a bit longer, you had $190,000 raised, and now you're at $330,000. So there's a real community buy-in here.
100%. Like, everybody's got on board, which has been, you know, people said, oh, we better have a plan B. And I'm like, yeah, we can talk about plan Bs. But if you're talking about plan B, you're basically planning to fail. So I haven't been super focused on, we have talked about some contingencies about what might happen if such and such, or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it's kind of like if you start exploring, you know, all the different, you know, you got the trunk of the tree, and if you go down to every last leaf, you'll be there for a million. Like, we just got to raise $450,000. And you can buy, you know, it's how do you eat an elephant? If you try and eat it in one big fell swoop, you'll never get there. But if you break it down into bite-sized chunks, you will get there. And so it has proven. And it's been, you know, there's a little bit here and a little bit there. And we've had some really super amazing people come on board and donate, like, you know, a lot of money, which is evident in the fact that we've got $336,000, which is, that's a third of $1 million. I mean, holy smokes. If you'd said to me, you know, a year ago, hey, you're going to be looking at, it's all going to happen, you're going to eventually get there, I would have gone, yeah, that's good, that's, you know, I like your enthusiasm, you know, we'll wait and see. But now I'm going, holy smokes, it's going to happen.
It's becoming real. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So what is so special for you with Le Bon's Bay? What's your connection to that place?
So my connection goes with Jane, my wife. So Jane is a fourth generation batch owner in Le Bon's Bay, and her great granddad on her father's side built the first batch right along the waterfront. And in Le Bon's Bay, there's quite a few, they're Brittendons. So they're all connected to the great granddad. We do have a strong connection to the bay in terms of wanting to leave the bay in a better place than we found it.
Oh, that's awesome. And you mentioned about how when you called a meeting, the community got together, about 40 people in the local hall, and to talk about forming the community trust. What has the community's response been in the year or so? Like, has that followed through in terms of the whole Le Bon's Bay being interested in taking action, or has it just been a few of you driving this forward, or what's that look like?
It's been, now I think there's a real sense of it's going to happen, which was my intent all along. Obviously, I think potentially there has been a few people who are a bit skeptical that, A, why would you want to do such a thing? And B, that's a big goal. Well, you know, good luck to you kind of thing. That's sitting here now, I'm like, well, this is exactly what we planned, and this is exactly what we are going to set out to achieve. So it'd be great to have you on board, because it is going to happen.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So for those of you like me who don't know Le Bon's Bay, can you build a picture for us what it looks like? So you obviously have the bay and the ocean, and then the batches But what does the surrounds look like? Is there any existing conservation already in place that you're adding to, or are you starting from scratch?
So I'll go back a wider look at the peninsula. The Banks Peninsula is a hotbed of conservation land, and it's not. If you're in that space, you're probably well aware of it, but I wasn't. And so I've come to it and gone, goodness, there's a lot of conservation. There's a lot of land that's been put into covenants. So most people have heard of the Queen Elizabeth Trust, which is a covenant that gets put onto land and protects it forever. There's also the Banks Peninsula Covenant as well, which holds just as much weight as the Banks Peninsula, as the Queen Elizabeth, sorry. So the Banks Peninsula Conservation Trust has covenants over quite a bit of land, and probably the most famous bit of land, which has kind of almost kick-started this whole Banks Peninsula movement of conservation and whatnot, is Hinawai, which is a guy called Hugh Wilson, who's an absolute legend, and he started a block of land of about 100 hectares, and it has grown into 1,400 hectares of land, which has now been in his stewardship for the past 40-odd years. I think he started in 36 years. And he has proven that if you give nature a chance, it flourishes. And so he has got Hinawai, which is 10Ks away from Lebons Bay, maybe. I'm not too sure on that one. And then within Lebons Bay, there's another block of land which, driven past, it didn't really take into account, but a gentleman by the name of Joseph Langer left a substantial amount of money for conservation land, and so they purchased a couple of farms and, again, chucked a fence around it, put a covenant on it, and it is slowly going back to nature. And there, I think that's been going for maybe 20 years, and so it's a little bit behind Hinawai. And then also in all the little bays, there's lots of little pockets where farmers have come along and you know, protected a gully or protected a stream or whatnot like that. So the bit about the Lebons Bay Conservation Trust, the first bit of land that we're going to buy, and I say that because ultimately, hopefully we get more, is it looks like a very thin slice of pizza. And the bottom bit of it is bound by a river. And then it's about 1.5 Ks long. And at the far end of it is the start of a road. And then the road goes along the river, but it climbs up to a peak. And the peak is about 190, 200 meters tall. So at the thin end is ground zero, obviously, and at the other end of the 1.5 Ks, it goes up a hill to 190. And so that thin, well, it's like a shape like a, you know, bit of pizza, is all the 40 hectares. And at the moment, it's a bit of scrub, a few exotics, there's a few wild pinings, of course, and then there's a few gullies of land where there's a bit more native bush. And how it came about, why the current owners are selling, is because in 2021, there was a massive amount of rain on the peninsula, and Lebons Bay got 340 millimetres in 24 hours. And of course, that all came down into the valleys and the gullies. And so their batch, unfortunately, which was quite old, 1860s, 1870s, the little stream that was nearby changed course, and now the old house has got a metre to a metre and a half of mud, gravel, rocks strewn all through it. So it's unfortunately toast. So we will have to remove that. But we aim to extract as much of the timber out of that to use to build a shelter or something. And so there is some sort of connection between the old and the new.
Cool. Yeah. So Banks Peninsula, I discovered your project through Hinawai Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
I think you sent letters for asking for fundraising out to all the subscribers of Hinawai. And the fact that Hugh endorsed it, I thought, well, that's a pretty big thing to say.
That's the gold stamp.
Yeah, it sure is. If you're listening to this episode and you haven't heard of a video on YouTube called Fools and Dreamers, it is gold standard Amazing. Conservation doco. Yep. It's all about how Hugh from Hinawai actually went from being called a dreamer for turning gorse back into native forest and told that he was crazy and that he actually did it and he brought the community on board. So you've got a backdrop of a bit of a culture of caring for nature in the Banks Peninsula, and this is a triangular wedge, which is interesting land to work with in the first place, right? What do you see as next once you purchase this land successfully? What are the, I guess, the next steps to bringing this vision to life?
The short-term goals is to place a land, place a covenant, sorry. Vision, here we go. Is definitely place a covenant. That's the one thing. And so there's a few legal things that we probably have to do around that and surveying, given a covenant. Lebon's, the Banks Peninsula, said they might be able to assist with that. The first, also part of that was I mentioned that the house, it's a health and safety hazard, unfortunately, and we can't have people clambering all through that. There's an old paper road that runs between the river and our, once we purchase it, our bit of land. And I think it's about, let's say, about 10 metres wide. And there was an old track that went out to this old wharf, which is now completely no longer there, apart from a couple of piles that are at a very precarious angle in the bay. And so our intention is to get the council involved, and they're on board with that, is to turn that into a nice walkway, you know, metre and a half, so that people can walk from one end along the nice river out to the head, and then you can look over to the beach. And at low tide, and even at high tide, to be honest, you can walk across the little river, and then you're onto the Bonds Bay beach.
Nice.
We also want to register ourselves with carbon credits, get it surveyed, and get ourselves started getting to generate an income. There's also lots of trusts out there which are really, you know, they won't give money to buy land, but they will give you money once you've got runs on the board, and we need to basically purchase it to, you know, apply for those funds. And with that, Banks Peninsula are running a very successful predator control program, and they have Banks Peninsula, if you think of Banks Peninsula as a big C shape, they've started in the Akaroa Harbour, and they're slowly working their way around, eradicating all the possums and mustelids and stuff like that. So our block of land is not in there yet, but in the next year or two, they will get to our block of land, and we'll obviously work closely with them. And longer term, there's potentially we want to look at, because the Joseph Langer, they've got a little hut, and people can stay the night in the little hut for koha. Potentially, we look at setting aside a small piece of land within the covenant to say that we will allow people to stay there the night. Again, we're not 100% sure. We're, at the moment, super focused on getting $450,000.
Yeah, nice. As you should, I guess, because that's what everything else relies on.
Yeah, that's step one, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So assuming you get the $450,000, you do these things, you connect up the walkway and have it predator eradicated and all the other good stuff that happens with that, how will you measure the effects or the success of your work over time? Would it be like looking at bird counts or like tracking tunnels to see the residual population of predators, or how many volunteers or show up, or how many people actually use it for recreation? Yep. Like, once you've got a patch of land into a community trust, how do you grasp that success, or, you know, grasp that it's actually going as intended?
It's a good question, I suppose. I haven't really thought about what defines success. So for me, in my head at the moment, success will be purchasing the land, putting a covenant on it, and if we just put a fence around it and get some basic pest control onto it, Hinawa has proven that you're a long way there to what success looks like. And for my, I do know what success looks like, is in 100 years' time, my great-grandchildren are on the beach. I always get emotional about this. On the beach, looking at that bit of land and going, Grandma and Granddad helped save it. So can it be success?
That's awesome.
That's so beautiful.
Oh, that would be amazing. And just trying to think of them looking back and seeing just mature native forest and birds everywhere rather than exotic plants. Yeah.
You hope that there'd be other people around doing that kind of stuff, and there would be, you know, by that stage, Joseph Langer would be well and truly back into native, and then Hinawai, success breeds success, and Hinawai just seems to keep getting bigger and bigger, and the Banks Peninsula and Conservation Trust, they seem to get more and more funding, even though the current government is not so, anyway. There is a lot of success associated with this kind of stuff on the Banks Peninsula, and all I'm doing is my little bit to help it. So I'm not one of, you know, I'm coming to the party super late if you really want to think about it. you know, there's a lot of people out there who have done way more than I have.
However, to me, I think we need even more people coming to the party, and good on you for joining, I guess, the Banks Peninsula Conservation Party that's already going on. So throughout your crowdfunding campaign that you set up, what are the biggest challenges that you've faced so far, and how did you address them? How are you addressing them?
I think one of the challenges we have had is where? Le Bon's where what? Who? And, you know, even people in Christchurch, you know, I say we're going to Le Bon's Bay, and they're like, where's that? And I say it's next to O'Kane's. And they're like, oh, yeah, O'Kane's. Oh, right. Not many people have heard of Le Bon's Bay, which is fine. You know, it doesn't worry me in the slightest.
Yeah, so awareness is a big one, right?
A little bit, yeah. And it's a bit of a, it's not as, I'm going to say it, it's not a sexy bit of dirt. It's not like, you know, golden sand.
So you know how in our pre-chat you said that the first bit of money came easy and then it got harder and then it got even harder to continue raising and crowdfunding.
Yeah.
Do you think that's tied back to people not knowing where Le Bon's Bay is and the value this project brings to the region?
So with the initial, I'm going to say the first quarter we got, we literally raised within, you know, arguably the first quarter came from very, very easily. Like there was no dramas in fundraising $125,000. The next 125 was, that was pretty easy as well. That, you know, we kicked it off. We talked about it and we got some. So to go back a few steps, we initially at the initial meeting, after the meeting, we'd started the trust. We went out because we'd established the trust, but we still weren't sure that we were going to get the money. So we asked for pledges and said, if this goes ahead, how much are you prepared to pledge? And so we got a list of pledges, and the pledges were immediately like, holy smokes, I can't remember how many pledges we got, but I'm going to say it's about $180,000. And so we're like, okay, so we've got 180, which is pretty much halfway. So surely we can get the other half somehow by hook or by crook. So the first quarter was really easy. The second quarter was a mixture of pledges and people of word of mouth and a little bit. And then the first quarter was that. The second quarter was Hugh. And then the other quarter has been a bit more media, and we've done quite well with the media, which has had helped. The last quarter, I think our little plan to get the final 20% is that we are going to go back to all the media again and say, look, we've actually fundraised 80%. And 80% is, you're practically there. We're going to go back to everybody that's donated and say, hey, you know, you donated a bit of money. We're a bit short. Any chance of a little bit more? And then I think it's coming on board. I'm hoping that people go, well, shit, I haven't done it now. I really want to be involved. And hey, I was the one that got them over the line.
Based on, I guess, what you've seen so far, if someone else is thinking of doing a crowdfunding to raise money to buy some land, do you have any advice or any specific tips that you would say, do this or don't do this, based on our learnings, to help you get there faster?
It's targeting the right audience as to who has got buy-in to what you're trying to achieve. So if it's land, then it's people connected to the land, or if it's an idea, it's people connected to the idea. And every time I've done quite a bit of phone calling, if they can't help, I've always asked, who would you suggest? And it's just chasing down all those leads and going to the next stage. And sometimes you go nowhere and you finally talk to the person who you think you're supposed to talk to, and they go, oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, we've got no money. And you're like, oh, damn. We haven't spent any money on advertising or, you know, paid. We haven't done that. You just got to find people that are get what you're trying to achieve. And for us, it's quite a simple concept. Buy land, place a covenant on it, protect it forever. I mean, it's really simple. And I think if you're trying to do that, then it's an easy sell. You know, do you like protecting land forever for future generations? Yes, I do. Great. So, you know, please donate money into my bank account. So I could only really comment about that is, and also getting the more people that are on board, the easier it is for everybody to do, because I couldn't have done this by myself. There's absolutely zero chance of that. None.
Yeah.
No. Forget about it. You do need, you know, it's a problem shared is a problem halved for sure. Yes. And, you know, we've got 10 trustees, and so we've got a great range of skills, and everybody's done their little bit to help ease the load. And, you know, go back a step, is like, well, some people have donated, you know, thousands of dollars, or even, but even $5 to some people is their weekly spending money. And that's a lot of money to some people. So there was a 10-year-old kid who donated $10. And when I was 10, $10 was like, basically, you were king. You were a man. I'm 51, so $10 bought an awful lot of stuff back then. You know, so $10, even today, you know, $10 is still. So I appreciate the $10 from that kid as much as I appreciate the $20,000, because, you know, to some people, $50 is their entertainment for the month, and they've decided to donate it to the Le Bon's Bay Conservation Trust. And I'm like, holy crap, thank you. Right, really, thank you. That was one thing we decided not from the get-go, is that we weren't going to name the people or the amount. Or, like, you know, some people I've seen in the past, you know, gold donator, silver donator, platinum, bronze, and da-da-da-da-da, and all these little names down the bottom. I'm like, one of those little names gave a larger percentage of their expendable income than potentially the platinum person. And the platinum person could have done the whole thing without even blinking. And don't get me wrong, amazing of some of these platinum donors who have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to this, that, the other thing. And I applaud them for being so generous, because it is generous. But I also acknowledge that to some people, they gave a large percentage of their disposable income to a cause, and they just get a tiny little mention down the bottom. I'm like,
for sure, absolutely, and you've got to acknowledge that, because those people that giving that money might mean a bigger impact on their on their attitude towards it, and that might be your next generation of volunteers or people that come to the bay and end up being your neighbour as well. I think the other point that I'm noticing is, when someone thinks about crowdfunding, it's often easy to think, I'll put an advert out there and then everyone will buy and it'll all be done. But actually, from what you're saying, there's a lot of grit behind the scenes. There's a lot of picking up the phone, and if you get a no, who else can I talk to? And treating it like you're selling something, because you are selling the idea of bringing the charity or the vision or the conservation project to life. And so to go into it with an expectation that you're going to get doors closed, that you're going to have things not necessarily go right, but then going with that attitude, I'm guessing if someone else wanted to do something like what you're doing, that would help them to approach it the right way.
There is no such thing in luck in life. None whatsoever. If you buy every single ticket on the lottery and you win the lottery, are you lucky? No, you just rigged it.
No way.
That's not luck at all. It's, you know, and I'm a big believer in, you know, if there's 100 doors in front of you, one of them's unlocked. And you might get lucky and it might be the first one. You might be unlucky and it might be the 100th one. But there's no such thing as luck. You've just got to keep on putting yourself out there. And, you know, it's things like this. It's talking to people like you. And I'm kind of going, hopefully there's someone out there listening to this and going, shit, 125. You know, he seemed like a nice guy. Yeah, Le Bon's Bay. I had a nice time there once. And, you know, and we're done. That would be a bit of luck. But I put myself in this position to talk to that person. So is that luck? Yeah. I don't know. I don't believe in luck. None whatsoever.
You're creating luck. Absolutely.
You're creating out possibilities of the right outcome happening your way.
That's awesome. What does conservation mean to you?
Conservation means to me leaving the, and it's a, and in today's world it's hard to do that, but is leaving the place in a better spot than you found it. And I think this is my one big tick.
I think so. I think it's living life, however, doing your bit and what you can do to leave it a better place, like you said. I think that resonates well with me. So how can our listeners learn more about your project and support your mission?
So we have a website, lbbct.org. So that's Le Bon's Bay Conservation Trust, lbbct.org. And we've got a one of our trustees, she's done an amazing job of doing all that up, so that's been great. And then so we've got a vision, and there's pictures of all of us, and not all of us, but some of the trustees, and pictures of the bay and whatnot, so they can go there to find out more information and a bit more about the history of it. So there's long history of people living in Le Bon's Bay. And we've also got a Give a Little page. So if you go to Give a Little, and all you have to do, type in is Le Bon's Bay. So that's L-E space Bons, B-O-N-S, that'll come up and you can donate there. But we also accept direct donations.
So if you're interested in finding out more, check it out. It's definitely worth a look. But it's been a real pleasure having you on here today, Matthew, learning about your journey and all the intricacies of buying land for conservation. So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's been absolute pleasure. And anybody that's thinking about doing it, I'd say just do it. And you know, the people that come along and offer you help, take it and just grasp it and just roll with it. And because the more people that do these kinds of things, the better off the world will be in 100 years' time. And, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and good on you for putting yourself out there and being willing to, you know, I know you say luck's not a thing, but if you're creating your own luck, well, you know, hats off to you. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.